we'll sort that out. No. I hope there's gonna be peace there. So the fact that the ANC has taken a decision to do away with floor crossing. Now I can see the seating arrangement. Now it's I see. But colleagues, once again, welcome. And we've got a hectic term ahead of us. We were supposed to meet as well tomorrow, given the fact that we our budget vote debate is on the 21st of May. As we've got to offload all the public hearings on the budget by that time. You can't hear me, is it? My dear? It is not. Perhaps you just have to adjust it to the
ribbon.
Yeah, I mean, after a month that we are away, so it's okay. Tembisa, can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. All right. Okay. So as I was saying, once again, welcome, colleagues, honorable members. We've got a very hectic term. We are meeting again tomorrow. And if you look at the program till now and until Parliament rises, you'd see that we meet more than one times a week. So we've got to exhaust all the public hearings before the budget vote on the 21st of May. Now, I hope that we'll be intact as a committee when we get there. I've got three apologies, Honorable Kotwal, Mankuna, and Honorable Khailen. Honorable Khailen is booked off sick for the whole of this month, so it will be a standing apology up until the doctor allows him to resume his duties here. So, Tim Lambank, you are welcomed, and welcome, Minister. We take note of the fact that this is a new board, and I'm sure the Minister would want to say a thing about it before they start talking to us. And I'll take it from there.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also thank the honourable members for giving me this opportunity through you, Chair. This is, in fact, a new board of the Land Bank, which I'm sure members are aware, was appointed on the 5th of March by Cabinet and commenced their duties on the 6th of March, or were informed on the 6th of March. So today they are celebrating their second month in office. It has been a hectic time for them. They had to hit the ground running, of course, and are still orientating themselves in terms of the challenges and the program of the land bank. However, they had to come before the committee because it is this time of year to table their corporate plan, and we'll also be working with other departments, the Treasury and so on, to fine-tune this into their turnaround, which hopefully will be ready in a month's time. However, they will speak for themselves. I would just like to take this opportunity to introduce them. Firstly, we have the chairperson, Mr. Themba Langa, who is an attorney in Johannesburg. We have Professor Van Schalkwyk, Professor of Agriculture, the University of Free State. We have Reverend Mbangula, who is a farmer and a deputy president of NAFU. We have Ms. Pochenbo, Yasmin, here with us. We have Ms. Nolwa Zikata, also specializing in HR. We have Ms. Masana, who is a CA and has worked in auditing companies and banking. Tukovile, I think I've mentioned all of them. Thank you, Chair.
The rest, I suppose, is the...
Oh, yes. Three other board members are not here.
Okay. Mm. And the rest is the executive staff.
Yes. Okay. I'm sure the chairperson
The chairperson. We'll congratulate you later on your appointment. after we have had a conversation. Now, Chairperson, the acting CEO, who are in your hands. So you can also introduce the team from the executive side and proceed from there. Yeah. Trying to move closer to this thing. I'm trying to talk into it. Is it fun? Is it? All right. Okay. Yeah. Mr. Langa, we are in your hands now. We can also introduce our executive management and do an overview, if any, and proceed from there.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning to the members of the House. Before I proceed with my overview, let's introduce my management team.
Perhaps you may have to do the same thing I'm doing. I'm not sure if you have ever addressed any rally. talk as if you are addressing some farmers in some rural area who are demanding money from the bank. And press the red button.
Thank you. I would like to introduce my honourable to my honourable members the management team. Which in the meantime, it consists of the acting CEO, Mr. Saki Zamphaka, on the extreme left in the grey suit, and then the acting CFO, Mr. Mlanga Khambule. And then behind them, I've got Mr. Mohamed Basson and Mr. Pete van der Veste. That's our management team, and then these are the people who have held the bank and lifted it to this time. Honorable Chairperson and members of the House, when we are appointed, as the Minister just said, that today's our anniversary, we walked into a bank and we had to decide whether we take a high road or a low road. We faced an option whether we leave some other parts of the bank to burn or to leave some other parts of the bank to die. But we had no option as a board, and that status of the organization determined our response as to how do you respond and how do you perform in the circumstances. Honorable members, what we did is that then we had to get deep into the issues and start to work on the business itself. We found that the bank in a state of dereliction in terms of morale. We found the bank going through very trying times. We found the bank in the midst of a huge bad publicity. And at this stage, the board had to still take a lead. But for the in the board taking the lead, we had to consider how do we adopt such a leadership. And we decided to take an integrated aspect of leadership, where while we lead as a board, we also develop management. And throughout the process, the board has taken the hand of management and have guided them through the period. And we're very grateful that at this stage, as we sit here, the board and the management are speaking with one voice. And we're very grateful that at this stage, that the management in the bank, throughout the branches, the customers and the stakeholders have hope. And we are coming here to you today to convey the hope that we've picked up from the market, the hope that we've picked up from the customers, and we're here as well to convey to you the rising morale inside the bank. Mm-hmm. Honourable members, in doing our task, we face with a very difficult aspect as to how do we assist the management as we proceed. The board quickly constituted all its committees, from human resource committees to audit committees, crisis committees, and board members were hard at work. And one of the committees that we also created for the sole purpose to be able to grant assistance to the management was the operations committee, which interfaced with management to assist management in how to go through issues. And we advise that, that kind of measure has been very helpful to the bank because it was able to provide a measure of confidence and a measure of support in them doing their job. At all times, ladies and gentlemen, I need to also to highlight another member that the board observed its role. Its role as entrenched in Section 4 and 5 of the Land Banks Act is that it must responsibly reduce its responsibilities in respect of the operations and business of the bank, and that we did. As well, we're also cognizant of the imperatives of the PFMA that it imposes on the board. So at no stage did we play any low or high level of engagement. We just kept to the rule as required by the Act and the PFMA. Now, as you'd expect, one of the major issues that confronted the new board was the issue of the forensic report. Because clearly, it gave us a sense of trepidation that why should you walk into a bank when you know that it has been engulfed in flames? And one of the issues that we did as well was we received the forensic report. It's a report that has been dealt with, that has been examined, and the instance of being commissioned by the minister. And we received a briefing from the compilers of the report, Jared and Tuch, and they went through the recommendations with them, and all that we had to do as a board was to be able to ensure as to how do we execute, and how do you take forward, and how do you bring to finality the recommendations contained in the report. To that extent, the board then created a committee to be able to advise, as well other members of the board are focusing on equally urgent issues. And the committee then proceeded to be able to look into the report, but then make a determination that we need to solicit legal opinion and advice as to how to be able to bring the matter to finality. We'll appreciate that now, at this stage, it's quite a voluminous report. There are many issues that need to be dealt with, and as when we sit on the board, we're not all lawyers, and we had to get assistance as to who are we going to sue, who do we need to get behind bars quickly, you know, and who do we need to seek legal redress. And we've given, we've briefed two advocates, one senior, one junior, to be able to advise us. And we've been promised to get the report not later than the 19th of May. So as soon as you get the report, honorable members, we'll be able to come back to the house and be able to report and be able to table all the outcome of the report. And to take the matter further, we've also told the lawyers that in their advice, that where they say that we can institute action against X, they must draw papers so that if so, we can bring finality. So we don't want the situation that is long-winded where you've got legal opinion after legal opinion. We want to get finality. So when they come back to you, we'll bring finality as to what has occurred. Because as a board and the bank, we're determined to be able to root out all crooked elements, and we're also very committed to be able to ensure that the land bank does not become a reserve space for those who want to commit fraudulent deeds. And as a board, we want our character to be able to move forward, to be able to ensure that this visionary institution remains, takes its course, because the land bank is the premier institution that will always be necessary in South Africa. That at this stage where we're seated now, it is a cardinal role to play to produce food, and we need to ensure that at all times we ensure that making activities or images of the bank are weeded out as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Listen, gentlemen, again, what we also have done as well as a bank, we've also gone further again to take the matter with auditors, external auditors. We've expressed our disquiet to the Auditor General to say that we don't understand why should things happen to this level for this long, and what happened, and we're doing everything in our power. And then I can give you the assurance that when we come back to you, we'll give you a report on all deals which are done in violation of the Act. Because we are currently advised that in respect of that report, about 9 transactions which went beyond the ambit of the Act are involved, and about 8 of them have to do with residential property, only one is commercial. And I know that in the media they've spoken about golf courses. I think it's a prospect that one residential property in Durban offers. But what we have here is, books that we have about 8 residential and 1 commercial. And we've gone further as well, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to embolden the team, the management team. As I said earlier, that when we walked in at the bank, we found the morale to be low. I think we need to be able to congratulate and thank those of management who have remained behind, because as we all know that when the institution it was before we walked into the bank, all the good people would leave, but we had the luck to find some patches of excellence and pockets, of diligence inside the bank, and as a board we've sought to emphasize that. One of the issues that they're going to get today in our corporate plan is the issue of how do we intend to build capacity. In the corporate plan, it's going to be very clear that we're going to how the steps and the strategies that we've taken to be able to employ more people, and how quickly do we intend to do that. The second issue that they're also going to get from the corporate plan is the research and development approach that we've taken. We should ensure that, because we do admit that we've lost a lot of skill, Honorable Chair, and to that extent, it will not be possible at all times to be able to attract the skill back to the bank. Now, so what we've done is that we've budgeted for a research and development so that we can be able to, while we grow the business, we develop talent. And while we grow the business, we ensure that now innovation of customer products, innovation of how the business, the bank does business, does not lag behind. And we're confident that at this stage, the bank, honorable members may be able to find a semblance of a rekindling of the bank, because as we all know, great institutions such as the land bank, they do go through such setbacks. But the difference of such premier institutions that now is the resilience of such institutions to come back. And what we think that we need to do as well, the opportunity that this opportunity provides us with a scenario to be able to create a new capacity for the bank. The new capacity that we're going to create is also partnership. We're going to partner with co-ops, commercial banks, universities, in order to increase our capacity. I think at this stage, when we talk here and when we present our budget to yourself, honorable members, and we talk about capacity, to us capacity is no longer our employees moving forward, but capacity includes our employees, our extended network of partners, as I said, from co-ops and others, and as well as the other initiative of R&D that we're also getting into. Now, what you're going to get briefly from the corporate plan are the efforts and measures which have been taken to stabilize the bank. And you'll be able also to be able to get the direction as to which the direction of the bank is taking towards agrarian reform, and also to be able to focus on agricultural production. I think numbers will be shown on the budget as to where we are situated in terms of the lopsided funding that we have had between the development book and the commercial book, and how do we intend to address that in order to promote agricultural production. And also, that aspect will also talk to how does the bank continue to support commercial agriculture, and how does it also intend to proceed to uplift development. And one of the most important other issues that they also be able to pick up from the presentation is the issue that we want to do away with the issue that our management information system is archaic and disjointed. We want to do away with that aspect. We have that kind of difficulty, and it is not uncommon to hear complaints about delay in customer service, applications taking very long. It is because of our poor MINs, and we want to address that. Then we've budgeted to that aspect. So how do we intend to address that aspect of it? So we hope that at the end of the presentation, you'll be able to get a fair picture of where the bank is going, and again, you'll be able to pick up the character of the leadership at the bank at this point in time. And at all times, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be able to pick up as well that we've invested a lot as well in how we're going to move forward in terms of communicating to all stakeholders. Lastly, Honorable Chair, we'll also point out in our presentation that the numbers that we have today are the numbers that we also intend to firm up not later than the 30th of June this year, because we have not spoken to other stakeholders such as important stakeholders such as National Treasury. We have not interfaced with them in respect of the numbers that we have. So during this period, we intend to be able to come back to you and firm up and provide you with a turnaround strategy. We know that you may be fatigued by the call of a turnaround strategy from the land bank, but we believe that we are on call that we can be able to produce a say by the 30th of June. So I could be held to that come the 30th of June. And I think, Honorable Chair, that comes to the conclusion of my overview, and I would like to respectfully allow the acting CEO, Mr. Sakizamba, to provide us with a presentation in sort of a corporate plan. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson of the committee and honorable members and the honorable minister. We will go in a bit more detail on the issues that the chair has covered, but in the actual corporate plan, from about page 54, it gives the detail on each of the business units on what are the actual action steps that are going to be taken, the word document, not the slide. A brief overview of what the presentation is going to cover is a bit of background about the land bank, the purpose of the land bank as enshrined in the Act. We'll get into what are the key elements of the corporate plan, the vision, and its key objective. We'll look at the environment in which we operate, the values that guide the land bank and its operating principles, and get into detail on what are the short to medium term objectives that we seek to address. The gentleman next to me will present the budget, which also has the cash requirements, which are key to us achieving the targets that we have set, and then conclude the presentation. In terms of the background, I think most of the committee members know that the land bank comes from a background of making losses financially, which have contributed to low levels of capital. which have also impacted on the ability of the land bank to do work on development. And as a consequence of the retained book of about 4 billion, about 821 million were development loans. And as we said, the funding challenges contribute to that performance on the development book. Also linked to that is that the land bank has lost its market share over the past 5 years to other competitors, partly due to its constraints on funding, but also partly due to the fact that agriculture is a bit of a risky sector. And with the with government subsidies having been removed and support to farmers, what would traditionally be a market of the land bank can't sustain itself without some level of government support. The other point that is worth noting is that we're in an environment of rising food prices, we're in an environment where food security is being challenged, and those factors combined are bringing up or increasing the demand for agriculture finance. Purpose of the Act, of the Land Bank as enshrined in the Act, as you will see, and I think committee members are familiar with it, it has a huge focus on the Land Bank, providing finance to previously disadvantaged individuals, contributing to development of the agriculture sector, contributing to food security and job creation, and providing financial services to the rural economy. Key elements of the corporate plan, vision of the land bank. The vision of the land bank is to promote, facilitate, and support the achievement of sustainable food production and food security, contribute to the development of rural economies and growth of the agricultural sector. As you will see, it's a vision close to what the Act puts as imperatives for the land bank. What are the things that the land bank is busy dealing with to refocus its activities? One is stabilizing the business. As we said, we're coming from an environment where the land bank has made losses financially, in the main due to bad debt and provision for loan losses, and also its operating costs, which have been running high, at least for the past year or so. Improving our delivery on the development mandate, reviewing how that development mandate is funded, because key to that success is going to be the funding of that mandate, improving capacity across the organization, managing costs, improving our IT platform, and managing the credit risk that we face as an organization. The mission of the land bank is to promote the access of ownership of land by previously disadvantaged individuals. Of course, that we do mainly by providing finance, increase the uses of the productive use of land through production loans, support emerging farmers, support commercial farmers again. In an environment where food security is an issue, it becomes important for the land bank to make sure that the whole agriculture sector produces enough for the country. And also through our activities of supporting the emerging farmers, that is where new capacity to produce should be coming from, and also to promote entrepreneurship in the agricultural sector. Supporting values, as a government institution, government-related institution, we are guided by the Matupile principles that we must be focusing on service delivery and service excellence and put people first. Integrity is one of the key pillars of the organization. I think the chair mentioned that this is one of the principles that has been tested a lot in the past, and those are some of the steps. There are steps that are being taken to ensure that employees of the organization conduct themselves in a manner that is honest and ethical. We improve professionalism and service excellence, improve accountability, be conscious about the management of costs. You would think that this is a matter that is assumed, but when you have a cost to income as high as it was in the previous financial year, it is one of the values we need to instill, especially on our management. Innovation, if we are still to be relevant to the emerging market, we need to provide product which address the needs of our customers. High level on the economic factors and outlook, as most know, the outlook for the international economy and our economy is a bit negative, influenced by an environment of high interest rates, influenced by an environment of high rising inflation, rising commodity prices, and rising input costs for the agricultural sector. And those are the things that will present certain challenges and opportunities. Focusing more on the agricultural sector, in terms of farming income, they declined for a number of years until about 2006, where the trend changed a bit and profitability improved from about 2007. But in certain sectors, that is offset by the rising input costs which farmers have to cope with. A point was made already, since about 1996, there was a removal of government intervention and support in the agricultural sector, which exposed it to certain risks and maybe did improve competitiveness, but it put certain barriers to entry, especially to small scale farmers. There's been more consolidation among the big commercial farmers, again, which is one of the things which puts a bit of strain to individuals that want to start. There are certain opportunities presented by some of the programs of the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs, and one of those which you mentioned is the Livestock Improvement Program. There also is a concept to improve production of food among municipalities, where municipalities will focus on certain commodities. Food security and food prices is one of the greatest challenges facing a lot of countries around the world, and we mentioned some of the factors that influence that. Looking at how the land bank operates, a comparison was done of the land bank with other institutions that provide agricultural finance. And these two that were looked at are commercial banks. And one point I think that is worth noting that is common is that the two commercial banks that were looked at offer a variety of services which the land bank does not, transaction and savings accounts, wealth creation and estate planning, commodity trading, international banking, investment banking. And they offer some of the services which we offer at the land bank, short to medium production loans, long-term mortgage loans. And why it is important to make this point is that for some of the clients deciding on where to put their facilities, they would be drawn to commercial banks with the broader product offering that that the commercial banks offer. That said, there are certain advantages which the land bank has. One of those advantages is that generally, though we still take into account risk, our terms are less stringent than those of the commercial banks, and at times we offer and allow longer repayment periods than would be the case. And that is crucial to assisting these emerging farmers that we put as a focus for the land bank. The two slides, starting with this one that are following, are sort of looking at some of the key aspects that we need to look at as a business if we are to remain relevant. And those key aspects include price, service delivery, expertise in the organization, our channels of distribution, and also our brand as an organization. Regarding our interest rates that we, or the charge that we put on our loans, it, not in all occasions we are competitive, and this I think is a matter that committee members have raised before, and we're asking how do we intend to address these emerging farmers if we're going to price them even higher than some of the established commercial farmers. It's almost setting them up for failure. One of the factors that has influenced that cost of the cost of the funds that we charge to our clients is also what we pay as the land bank in the market, and later we'll show you how our cost of funding has grown over the past 18 to 24 months. So that is one of the key contributors to the cost of funds that we're charging to our clients. And to deal with that issue. Government support is going to be critical. And there also are some instruments that are there, like MAFISA, which has an interest rate of about 8%, which we intend to use to assist these emerging farmers. But the part of government support is quite critical, because without that recapitalization, a lot of money will still remain raised in the market, and a lot of that money will have interest charged on it. Service delivery, our turnaround times as the land bank are relatively poor, and one of the major contributing factors to that is the IT platform. For some time now, the land bank has been looking at implementing a proper IT system, and the board is seized with that challenge of making a decision on what is the proper IT platform that we need to put in place. So in the next 12 to 18 months, the intention is to have a functioning IT system that would have been put in place to improve those turnaround times. However, contingency measures are being put in place to ensure that in the short to medium term we address that challenge. Expertise, again, is an area that we need to improve. In the short to medium term, the recruitment of individuals with the relevant expertise and skills is going to be done. Again, as you will see later when we talk about some of the HR initiatives, will be to recruit consultants, and we know that this is one of the matters that creates a bit of unease from people that you run your organization by consultants. But when you have a challenge, you have no choice but to look at those options in the short to medium term. And those will not be people that will come and put a document on your table. It's people that will augment management capacity, and in some areas that has been done already. And that will be complemented by recruitment, as I said, in the next 2 to 3 months. Our channels of distribution, as members will know, we have about 27 branches across the country, and the allocation is not always in sync with where we're targeting our market. When you look at the former homeland, the land bank does not have presence in most of those areas, and that is where production has been low, and we need to look at what measures we can take in collaboration with the two departments of agriculture and land affairs. While other institutions, commercial banks, and even some of the big agribusinesses have branch networks of more than 100 compared to that of the land bank. So in the short to medium term, part of delivering on our mandate is going to include forming partnerships with these entities who have the capacity, looking at creating new co-ops that will augment our capacity, and over 3 years increase our reach into about 47 service points. It may not be fully fledged branches as we have in today, because that is a costly exercise, but there is a need to increase our footprint. An overhaul of the IT system we already spoke about, and the issue of the brand. For the brand of the land bank to be improved, ultimately is going to depend on how we deliver on our mandate and achieving customer satisfaction. Engagements have started with our key stakeholders to address their concerns and also to start delivering on the development mandate. Historical financial performance, as you will see, the loan book of the land bank has ranged between 17 and 20 billion. Our interest margin has been under pressure for the past 3 years. As already indicated, the organization has been running at a loss. Cost to income last year was fairly high, and as part of the stabilization is to manage the cost down. Non-performing loans last year stood at about 15%, and capital adequacy ratio was at about 14.3%. With the letter of comfort from the National Treasury, and at that time that excluded the 700 million which came in October 2007. Our cost of funding, as you can see in that graph, has grown from August 2005 from an average of about 9.5% to about 10.5-11% by about February, March, in total, considering all the instruments that we're using. And while that increase part of it is attributable to the interest rate environment which has been rising, part of it is linked to land bank factors where funders view the land bank to be having low levels of capital, and with some of the publicity that we've received, it is beginning to put a bit of pressure on the institution. Our operating principles as an organization, we intend to be accessible. We have a branch network of 27, which we want to augment through partnerships. We offer direct and indirect lending to agriculture through agribusinesses and co-ops which exist today, and through our branch network. We intend to support emerging farmers, and this is one of the biggest challenges that the land bank is facing over the next 3 years, and how it contributes meaningfully to that. The strategy that we put to you focuses on mainly three aspects. One, stabilizing the business in the short term, delivering on development, and reviewing our funding model. Priorities for 2008-2009, management stability. We have, as you will see later, various actions that have been taken against some of our senior managers that have created vacancies in the organization. And in some of those, we can't fill, because when you have a person who is on suspension, you can't fill that position until that process has been concluded. So to deal with those gaps, you either have individuals who are acting or staff on a retainer basis have been appointed. We also are restoring morale and performance management in the organization. And as you're going through change, it is always important to get your staff on board and understand what it is that is the new direction of the organization, to get them, because without that staff, you cannot achieve any of your vision. So those are some of the things that are being addressed, and recruitment is being done, and more communication is being done to staff for them to understand where the organization is. Improvement of credit granting and monitoring processes and policies. One of the major tasks of the board is going to be the review of policies across the organization. And I think last year, it's one of the things that was mentioned. We now have a new board which is hardly 2 months in place, and that is one of the things that are a priority for board committees to be looked at. Enhancing the monitoring, again, as we said, in the short term, is going to be forming partnerships, but we have to design systems internally, acquire IT platforms that can do risk rating to reduce the human activity in some of these, look at predictive models, credit risk management systems, and also improve our competency levels across the organization, because currently we've had to have credit decision making centralized so that you can have consistency of the decisions that are made, and also you're comfortable about the level of expertise. But as more and more people are employed in the organization and systems improved, you want to start delegating some of those powers. Improve internal controls. The delegation of powers are being reviewed, and the board in the next month to 3 months will then approve new delegations of powers. We have an enterprise-wide risk management framework which was developed and has not always been implemented fully, so we're in the process of improving the implementation on that and governance issues. Build capacity to manage risks. We've already mentioned the issue of partnerships, but also want more alignment with the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs, the Agriculture Research Council, because we can't build all of these capacities, the land bank. Provision of extension services still remains the responsibility of the Department of Agriculture. The Agriculture Research Council has a bit of that capacity, so we want those partnerships to assist us to provide some of the services we can as the land bank. Interventions are being done, are being made on some of the key and high non-performing loans, and there's some of them which I think the committee is familiar with. A significant portion of that includes the land for development development transactions, and the chair already indicated that the board is seeking advice on how and what are the best mechanisms to recover those outstanding debts. And there are a few of our problematic clients which have significant amounts, which we think in the next 6 months we'll be able to recover some monies out of that. And that would have a huge impact on the financial performance of the land bank. We're also maintaining our support to commercial farmers. As we said, in the short to medium term, for food security reasons, it is important that we support production, both by bringing in new entrants into the sector and supporting even the ones that we have, because just to maintain the current levels of production, costs have gone up, so there's more demand for that. Managing operating costs, when we report later on the annual report, we will indicate that costs have not gone bad. Our cost-to-income ratio has actually improved, and then we intend to overhaul the IT system in the next 12 to 18 months. And that 12 to 18 months is a commitment on a final system that is operating and is able to deliver the kinds of things that we want as the land bank. Some of the initiatives on stabilizing the business has been dealing with our funders to give them comfort that the land bank is managed responsibly, that the land bank is delivering on its mandate and its financial performance is not deteriorating. We've also spoken about the interventions on some of the key non-performing loans and some of the stabilization that is taking place on the areas where capacity has been lost over time. And some of the areas has been the finance department where we've had external audit firms that boosted capacity. Again, some of the capacity challenges which I mentioned are as a consequence of action that has been taken against some of the employees. We had about 16 cases in total of people who have been disciplined, and about half of those cases have been concluded, with senior managers having been dismissed for cases for misconduct, fraud in some of the cases, and some of those that were concluded include that of GM Risk, that of GM HR, which have created certain vacancies. And I think members of the committee will be familiar with the Risk one, because it attracted media attention. It's a case that involved fraud on the previous gentleman who was there, and it has subsequently been finalized. So we're in the process of filling that vacancy. And these are some of the critical vacancies at head office that are being filled. And at the branch level, the most critical positions we're looking at is our sales staff, because that is where our business is going to be. And as we said, in the short to medium term, we're looking at boosting capacity by either looking at consultants, partnerships, and so on. Coming to addressing the development mandate, which is our key responsibility, we are guided currently by the ministerial priorities, which are the informed by the presidential priorities, APEC 7, of accelerating land reform. There's a target for the next 2 years to deliver 5 million hectares to about 10,000 new agriculture producers, increase black entrepreneurship in the agricultural sector, provide access to support services, increase agriculture production, and increase trade. So the land bank is focusing on those as new areas of responsibility and where we need to focus our attention on. And how this will be done is by the land bank providing finance, which is what we do already, and providing non-financial support to ensure that there is this success. Some of this non-financial support is not, as I said initially, is not something we're going to provide directly as the land bank in all occasions. In some occasions, it's going to be partnerships with extension officers, partnerships with expertise in the agricultural sector, and partnerships with the Agricultural Research Council and the Department of Agriculture. And one of the major aspects, again, is the separation of the development loan book and the commercial loan book. When it comes to the commercial loan book, it's fairly easy to deal with it, because when you raise funding for it in the capital markets, And the perception is that that is a book that should be able to pay for itself. It's a book that should have high risk. And based on our non-performing loans in that book, and investors have had a certain level of comfort. But when you come to development, our experience with the land bank has been that of high non-performing loans due to various factors, and some of them include interest rates, some of them include the support that is being given to them to improve their skills. So to address that, you need to separate your activities, and that's where a lot of the focus is going to come in, to say what types of loans can you provide to them, and have a framework that guides our activities as the land bank in that. And I think that's the part the chairperson was talking about, where we need a discussion with the National Treasury, because without that funding support, there will always be a limitation on the extent to which we can support these emerging farmers. In the agriculture sector, you always have this challenge of a distinction between market value and productive value. And for as long as farmers pay as much as they do for land, it provides a real challenge on how they can succeed in this farm, in this farming enterprise. And so very key to the success on delivery on that development funding is how we put systems in place for those development farmers, say what criteria is going to be used to give grant support, to give what some may call soft loans with terms that are less stringent than the commercial book, and also reduce their cost of funding. We intend to grow that development book in the next 3 years at least by 3 billion. And when you look at the targets of 5 million, that is fairly conservative, because that target of 5 million in the next 2 years presents huge demand for funding. But with the capacity that we intend building, we said we will grow gradually, because we don't want to be too aggressive with the kinds of experiences we've had in the past on delivering on the development mandate. We project that if this corporate plan is accepted and gets the required funding, that we should move into a profitable situation starting from the 2008 and 9 financial year, with a profit of about 72 million, growing to about 84 and 140 million by 2011. Improving our cost to income ratio. You will see in that cost to income, we've split it, because there are certain costs you always incur when you're involved in a restructuring process. Some of those may mean paying out people that are going to leave. Some of them may mean that you must increase the number of people that you're going to employ. And we're also committing to reducing our non-performing loans over the next 3 years. In terms of this, the funding pillars, funding, we're saying the key aspect is recapitalization, putting in cash on the business. Part of it, we're suggesting government guarantees. Again, in the detailed document, which is the word document that you have, in the background, we include a background of the land bank when it was established in about 1912. And when you look back into that history, you'll see that the land bank started when it was promoting development in the agriculture sector with government support. And there were various instruments used. Part of it meant money directed to the land bank from National Treasury, and in certain occasions it meant guarantees by government on the instruments which are used for funding. And we think if some of our instruments can be guaranteed by government, it would reduce our cost of funding in the capital market. But again, it's one of the points that we'll have a discussion with the National Treasury on. There is opportunity for donor funding out there, which the land bank has not really capitalized on. And some of that donor funding for technical assistance, and we're also looking at that donor funding to fund these development projects so that we can relieve the burden of these entities that we want to fund. And the other critical aspects are the grants and the grant support from the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs. In conclusion, there's been, I think, talk for some time now of a one-stop shop in the agriculture sector to provide finance to emerging farmers. And when we say that as the land bank, it's not to say we want to offer all of these services ourselves, but we want to be able, when a person comes to the land bank and say, you're getting a loan, and with the loan you're getting, you'll be able to get training from Farmer X, or you'll be able to get training from the Agriculture Research Council, and this is how much that will cost you, and this is where you will get the grant. It's that type of service that we want, because without it, we give 100% loans and hope that someone is going to get training somewhere, and when they start not performing, we have to take action on them as the land bank. Focus on the presidential priorities which we've mentioned, focus on increasing agricultural production, and all of this in the long term is to ensure that we deliver on the land bank's mandate. Just because of time constraints, we put up this PowerPoint slide high level to indicate to you the kinds of initiatives that are being done. But as I said, in that write-up document, the word document, from about page 54, it details the specific actions with time frames on what is going to be done to address some of the challenges. I will let the gentleman next to me to give you the budget, because here we just highlighted the high-level figures on how much we want to grow the loan book, but he will give a detail on that performance and what our cash requirements are going to be to ensure that we deliver on this mandate. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah,
thank you, Chair, and thank you, Minister, and to members of the House. I'd like to take the opportunity to present the budget of the Land Bank from 2009 to 2011. Well, as a starting point, I would like to give an overview of the budget which is about to be presented. I just need to emphasize that this three-year budget forecast is dependent on a number of key factors, about four of them. The first one being it's necessary for the bank to execute the initiatives as articulated in the corporate plan, especially with respect to the restructuring program. Secondly, for us to achieve this forecast will require a capital injection from government. I'll talk to that when I articulate or when I discuss the cash requirements of the bank. Thirdly, it will be important for the bank to get a government guarantee in respect of the new funds that will have to be raised going forward. This will help the bank basically to reduce the cost of funding. Fourthly, we need to understand that really a land bank cannot give all the support to the agricultural sector by itself. It needs to collaborate with the commercial banks and other stakeholders, you know, to ensure that the development of the farmers continues. One of the key things that this budget forecast is dependent on is the bank basically being in a position to fill in, you know, the key gaps, especially with respect to the staffing requirements. Before we go to the budget itself, I thought it's important for me to articulate or to show the House, you know, to give the House a historical analysis of the bank going back. Okay, I've covered the period from 2005 to 2007. 2008 is not in yet because the end process is under full swing, so the numbers have not yet been finalized. But when really one looks at the loan book in the first line, it shows that really the loan book has increased in 2005 by 13.6%, and then it took a dip of about 10.4% in 2006, and then it took a rise in 2007. Members of the House will be aware, or maybe aware, that in 2006 was a difficult year for the agricultural sector, in a sense that there was an oversupply of maize production in 2005, and therefore there was no cereal plantation in 2006. And then in addition to that, there were some serious climatic bad conditions, like the heavy rains that occurred, for instance, in Dahoom. But obviously it took an upswing again in 2007, among other things because the farmers were expected to plant again. And in addition to that, is the year in which the bank introduced the Loan for Development Finance Unit loans, the LDFU loans. This shows the performance of the development loan book over the years. It has gradually increased from about 660 million rand in 31 March 2005 to about 707 million rand in March 2007. As you can see, the NPL as a percentage of the gross loan is fairly high, you know, because when you look at 31 March, it's sitting at about 50%. The poor performance, basically, of the development loan book, it can be attributed to a few key things that have been articulated already. First, it relates to the inadequate credit granting processes, including not having appropriate solutions for the development farmers. Secondly, as the chief executive officer indicated, is the absence of non-financial support for these farmers, because without them, they're not established as a commercial farmer. So if you don't give them adequate support in that respect, they're unlikely to succeed. Thirdly, we believe that some of the development farmers acquired the land in excess of productive values, therefore putting basically them in a difficult position in terms of making the repayments going forward, as they needed basically to incur the costs to engage on a productive to engage on the production systems. This slide basically focuses on the profitability performance of the bank. What is particularly important to highlight is that the bank really has been making losses over a period of time. When one looks at 31 March 2005, we're sitting at a loss of about 207 million rand. March 2006, 125 million rand. March 2007, it was the loss of about 100 million rand. And then that is a negative impact, obviously, on the return on total assets, and hence we have been having a negative return over a period of time. And then what made things particularly worse is that the cost-to-income ratio has been steadily going up over the period of time. Because in 31 March 2005, we're sitting at about 55%. March 2006, at about 59%. And last year, we're sitting at about 81%. When one looks at the total assets, you know, in 31 March, they were at about 20 billion rand. And then in 31 March 2006, at about 17.6 billion rand. And then in 31 March 2007, at about 19.1 billion rand. But what's particularly important there is that the capital and reserves of the bank are fairly low, because when you look at the capital adequacy ratio, it has been under 10%, or below 10%, because in 31 March, it's about 7.8%, and then 31 March 2006, at about 10%. 31 March 2007 at about 9.8%. Why I'm particularly indicating or emphasizing the point is because the National Treasury benchmark is about 15%. And hence, in the subsequent slide, we do mention something about the cash requirements which are needed by the bank to be at an optimal position in terms of capital and reserves. Okay, in terms of the cash position, really, the cash position of the bank as well, it's at about 1.1 billion rand in March 2007, in comparison to 1.7 billion rand in March 2005. Coming to the budget for going forward, budget forecast for 2009 to 2011, firstly, I would like basically to focus on the salient features of the budget going forward. In terms of the NPL, it shows the determination of the bank, you know, to turn around its operations for the better. Because when one looks at the NPL for the bank for March 2005, it's about 23.2%, but we anticipate that come 31 March 2011, it will be sitting at about 15%. And then in terms of the commercial loan book, next year we will be sitting at about 9.8%, and then 31 March 2011 will be sitting at about 5%, and then the weighted average of that is about 7.7%. In terms of the cost to income ratio, including restructuring costs, we are looking at about 78% for next year, 67% the year after, and then 60% thereafter. Well, this can be attributed to quite a number of things. We believe that if we lower our cost of funding, our interest margins won't be squeezed. And if they're not squeezed, it would mean that basically the net interest income of the bank will improve. Therefore, our cost as a percentage of that will be relatively lower. But in addition to that, we are expecting some efficiency gains in terms of our operations going forward. the capital adequacy ratio, if we are, the bank is to be capitalized in terms of the new cash requirements, which will be articulated, I think, in the next slide, we'll be sitting at a healthy 20.8% in 2009, thereafter at about 21%, and then in March 2011, at about 22%. It can be seen that this is higher than the benchmark of about 15%. The return on equity, which has been negative in the past, you know, it becomes positive going forward, particularly because we're anticipating that we'll be able basically to make profits. The split of the loan book category. Right now, we are looking at a situation where the commercial book constitutes about 95% of the loan book, and then the development book only about 5%. But because of the drive, basically, or because of us focusing a lot on development as well, we anticipate that come next year, we'll be sitting at about 8% of, in terms of development, the total of the loan book, and commercial will be 92%. Then in terms of the development, it will increase from 8% to 12% to 16% over a three-year period. The year-on-year, the year-on-year growth in the loan book, obviously it will be higher for the development book, in the sense that we anticipate that its composition of the total loan book will be about 16% come 31 March 2011. And hence, the development loan book is going to increase by 64% next year, 71% thereafter, and 51% in the final year. This articulates basically the loan book of the bank going forward. Well, the total loan book will be about 17.3 billion rand for the period ending 2009, and then it will increase to 19.4 billion rand, and then also increase to 21.7 billion rand. This can be anticipated because there's an increase both on the development, on the development side. We intend basically to disperse about 3 billion rand over a period of 3 years. But in addition to us focusing on development, we anticipate that the loan book for the commercial sector is also going to increase. One of the things that influence the increase in the commercial sector are some of the economic outlook factors that have been articulated by the chief executive, including the increased input prices of the farmers or of the production cost. the gross amount in terms of rand figures, the commercial book is going to increase by about 797 million rand in 2010, thereafter by about 837 million rand, thereafter, okay, or in total it's going to increase about 2.3 billion rand over a period of 3 years. And then the development book, as I said, the new disbursements will amount to about 3 billion rand, but right now we're sitting with about 821 million rand. We anticipate that we're going to write off some of the existing development book. These are the cash requirements of the bank going forward. In the commercial, in terms of the commercial book, right now the capital and reserves that we have is about 734 million rand. But the loan book balance of that is about 15.1 billion rand. Now, when one determines the current capital adequacy ratio for that specific loan book, one can see that it's about 4.8%. As I've indicated previously, that an acceptable capital adequacy ratio in terms of the benchmark from National Treasury is about 15%. So now, if on the loan balance of 15 billion rand, we are to have capital and reserves at 15%, it would mean that one would be expected to be having reserves to the tune of about 2.2 billion rand. But the fact is we only have about 734 million rand, which means there's a shortfall of 1.5 billion rand. And hence, we are putting forward to the House that the cash requirement of the bank of 1.5 billion rand on the existing commercial book be considered. In terms of growth in the loan book going forward, because of the risk premium in terms of the loan book, the capital adequacy ratio, which is adequate, is about 25%. So now, if one considers that we are going to disperse about 3 billion rand over a period of 3 years, 25% of that is about 750 million rand. That's basically about 250 per annum. That's the new cash requirement that we're asking from Parliament. In terms of the growth in the commercial loans, we are going with the loan book in the commercial loans is going to increase by about 2.3 billion rand. So if that is to be capitalized at an acceptable 15%, in total, the requirement of the bank is about 359 million rand. So when one adds over a period of 3 years, the entire cash requirements of the bank, firstly, it's on the existing commercial book where we have a shortfall of 1.5 billion rand. Secondly, it's on the growth of the development book where we need about 750 million rand. And then thirdly, it's on the growth of the commercial book where we need about 359 million rand. In total, over a three-year period, the cash requirement of the bank in respect of the loans is about 2.652 billion rand. The total cash requirements per annum over a three-year period, I've just split basically, in terms of the loan book, I've made a split between the requirements per annum. For the period of 2009, the cash requirement is 1.8 billion rand. And then for 2010, it's about 370 million rand. And then for 2011, it's about 426 million rand. And then that the total of that over a three-year period gives you about 2.6 billion rand. But in addition to the loan book cash requirements, the bank also needs cash to take care of other key issues that the bank needs to attend to. The first one being the restructuring. For that, we need about 83 million rand. And then one of the few slides coming, one of the next slides does give the detail of the restructuring cost. And then one of the requirements of the bank, we have to implement an appropriate IT solution. We can't run an effective bank, or we can't, as a bank, run effectively or operate optimally without us having an optimal banking system, as has been indicated by the chairman of the board. Okay, for that we need about 60 million rand. In terms of increasing the branch infrastructure, you know, so that we can provide the necessary services to our customers, particularly with us increasing the branches from about 27 out to 47 in terms in line with the district municipalities, we anticipate that we need about 10 million rand for that. Okay, so the total cash requirements really for 2009 is about 1.9 billion rand, for 2010 about 404 million rand, and then for 2011 is about 431 million rand, and then over a three-year period is 2.8 billion rand. What I've included there as well is a contingency cost in respect of the refurbishment of the existing head office building. This has not been included in the budget because decision has not been taken. But the fact is, we have vacated that building for now. We are renting a new building in head office. So if a decision is to be taken going forward, that we are going to go back to that building, it will have to be refurbished so it can be safe, among other factors. So the cost, we anticipate that the cost of doing that will be about 80%. But that has not been included in the budget. We are just flagging it as a potential cost that the bank may have to incur. Other pertinent information that's relevant for the house is our CAPEX budget. As indicated previously, that we need to improve our IT infrastructure in the bank, and we do anticipate that we'll spend an amount to the tune of 60 million rand for that, to increase our branch infrastructure in terms of the IT infrastructure and the furniture and fittings that are required. It's about 10 million rand. The regular IT equipment that has to be replaced on an annual basis and so forth is about 2.5 million rand. Therefore, in total, really, what's required for CAPEX in 2009 is about 62 million rand, and then in 2010 it's about 12.8 billion rand, and then in 2011 about 2.5 billion rand. In terms of the restructuring costs, I think the chairman did go at length that In light of the bank restructuring its processes and its operations, it's necessary that innovative solutions have to be researched and executed. And in addition to that, to build both capacity internally and externally, it will be necessary for us to incur training-related expenses. and hence we have about 58 million rand for those two together. And then for additional IT costs that we anticipate, about 20 million rand. And then for the new credit scoring model, so that we can improve our credit granting processes, we need about 5 million rand. So the total restructuring cost amounts to about 83 million rand. This is just the financial information summarized for the budget going forward, as articulated previously, that we anticipate that the bank will be more profitable, with our profit increasing from about 72 million rand in 2009 to about 84 million rand the year after, to about 140 million rand in 2011. In terms of the balance sheet, it has been mentioned that we anticipate that our loan book will increase from about 17.2 billion rand to about 21 billion rand in March 2011. And then what's particularly pleasing that in terms of this budget, even our equity and reserves are going to increase substantially should we get the necessary capital injection from government, because they will increase to about 2.9 billion rand to about 3.9, almost 4 billion rand in 2011. This will put the bank in an optimal position to raise funds from the market at favorable rates. And then in terms of the cash position as well, the cash position of the bank is likely to increase from about 3 billion rand in 2009 to about 4 billion rand in 2011. I think in conclusion, I'll just mention a few things. Really, in terms of the current state, we are aware that the bank has been making losses over a period of time, and as a result, the capital and the reserves have been dwindling as a consequence. The capital adequacy ratio has been below the national treasury benchmark of about 15%. We are thankful for the cash injection of 700 million rand that we received from government, because it did assist in strengthening our capital adequacy ratio for 2008. The quality of the loan book has weakened over a period of time, and among other things, we have seen that in terms of the NPL on the development book, which is expected to be about 52% at the end of 2008, though the numbers have not been finalized. In terms of the prospects going forward, really, we believe that in terms of the restructuring the restructuring program is likely to yield in operational efficiencies, and the funding model of the bank going forward is much better. And then we expect that this will give good results in a form of reduced cost of funding, a low cost to income ratio of about 60% in 2011. And then we believe that with this, the bank will be in a better position to carry out its development mandate. We do expect actually to increase our loan book in terms of development to about 34 billion rand in 2011. Sorry, 3.4. The bank really continues to fund the commercial sector, with the loan book expected to increase to about 17.6 billion rand in 2011. So for now, we are still playing a dual role. But thanks a lot for this.
Honourable Chair, thanks so much. That constitutes the presentation from the Land Bank. But if I could quickly as well just mention that one issue which I forgot to mention in my overview, is the fact that within the next 30 days, we'll be able to be announcing the new CEO for the bank. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that announcement, because this committee doesn't want entities that it oversees to be led by actors. The less Hollywood we have, the better. Honourable members, let me take hands for questions and comments. Those that are on my right, I'm not able to see them properly, okay? Mr. Van Niekerk. Water, Honorable Pimpi, let me go to the right, Mankuna,
Honorable Bali, Honorable Samson. Your comrade will start first. Honorable Abrams. So, in that sequence, Honorable Van Nicker, Honorable Botha, Honorable Pipi, Manguna, Honorable Lali, Thompson, and Abrams. Honorable Van Nicker?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Minister, thank you for being here today. Could I start off by saying to thank you for this presentation. Land Bank has been before this committee for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's the first decent explained memo that we've had before us, giving us an idea of what's going on in Land Bank. Up to now, we've always been guessing, trying to get hold of CEOs who should be present and weren't present. At last, we've got, it seems, responsible people in place to do the necessary for Land Bank, which is in a dire position at the moment, as you yourself have said many times. And Land Bank is an important financing institution for agriculture. Without that, agriculture will not be able to really comply to food security as is important in this country. So, up to now, Land Bank has been in the press for, I think, the wrong reasons. But how do we get Land Bank out of the press? Because Land Bank is a state institution. And this committee has to ask questions, and we ask questions on what happens, and we would like to know the answers. And now we start getting the answers. At least we've got some list of actions that you've taken. So when I say this, I say that to get Land Bank out of the problem that it has with the investors, which are quite important to get confidence restored, is let's get the past out of the business. Let us play open cards with each other. For instance, Minister, there are questions regarding the Lloyd and Tush forensic report. At least we now know that it will be opened eventually, but up to now it was not opened. We didn't know whether people were acted against, because Cabinet went back on its first decision and then gave all the power to the Minister, and we didn't know what the Minister did, and we didn't know what Land Bank. At least we now know that there's action being taken, and when this action has been taken and people are taken out, we know that the people who misused their position for own benefit in the past are not still in Land Bank, and that they're out, because there's the fear that people within Land Bank are not being exposed to misuse their position and will now just continue there under new management. That is the part where I say we want to know what happened and what actions are being taken. Now, we have some idea of the officials gone list here. Then the second point, somebody has to take responsibility within an organization. There's only one boss in an organization. Who is that boss at the moment? Because I get the impression that the new board, with an acting CEO on the other hand, is now, instead of working with the principles which the management has to apply, is now starting to move over to management side. I think that is not a good idea, that the board starts managing the bank. Banks, managers should report to the board, and they should each have their own function. I can see that in this new interim phase that it is necessary to intervene. But, Minister, it's absolutely important that the CEO be appointed who knows banking and can take charge and can really do what is necessary. Because at the moment, with all respect, too many positions are not filled, too many people just stand in limbo. And when you really bring them to the crown, they don't take responsibility because. So I think that's important. That now, I can go on, but I would like to be short in this regard, because I know my
my comrade Charlie and Abraham are still to follow. Yeah. You mentioned I spoke to you as a comrade this time.
Well, the first time.
Yeah, but remember, I'm still your brother. Now, the other point that I would like to make in this regard, land bank is really the heart, in a sense, of the commercial agricultural food production story. It finances the crops. It finances co-ops. It helps to give loans to people in terms of input loans, and it has a very good function. It now has an additional political instruction to do development. Now, the profits made from the commercial side cannot be continuously being used to fund development. The development function and subsidy must come from the state and not from the profit. That's important. Now, if we go back to the Strauss Commission, which looked at to try and reconcile the offensive position between the commercial banks and land bank and agricultural credit board in the pre-1994 situation. The Strauss Commission came because they took away the limitations which the Agricultural Credit Act, which in a sense protected land bank and gave it a priority in terms of bonds was taken away, as well as the Agricultural Credit Act, which had a board which financed development under certain conditions. I do not want that old act to be in place in the same order, but finance is finance, and whatever dispensation, there are good aspects of this which we have to rewrite and to put into a new act which complies to the government's instruction and to its policy, so that it can facilitate real development under control, and that state money then can be, in a sense, well be managed, or else, as you will see, that all development funds from your own report here today, 50% of them are non-productive. We will go to 100% non-productive if there's no measures in place. So I plead, Minister, that in the sense we go back and put the right instructions in place so that the bank, with its new instruction, can fully do this development, because we all want development to take place and to be successful and to continue to be successful. I will end there, and just with a few questions, please keep us updated on what is happening in land bank, how you deal with the people who have frauded in the past, how you bring in new people. Because there is a worry outside, and I spoke to Free State Agriculture yesterday, where they say, well, land bank is there, but where's the commercial expertise really there? Where is that? So there are questions outside, and there's no unwillingness against land bank. But thank you for what you've done. 1 month, you've done more than 1 month than the previous boards have done in 4 years. Thank you.
That's a compliment. The next on my list is Honorable Porter.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I also want to add my feelings to my colleague Dr. Krasnicka, and you can say we're very pleased with the changes that have taken place in the composition of the board. It certainly looks like a new picture. I really want to ask a few questions before I get to the board from the presenter. Thank you very much for an excellent presentation. On the budget page 2, indeed a reference to market and productive values of land. Now, in itself, it seems quite innocent, but in the broader context of what we're hearing politically in the country and what stands we are on these two issues, I'd like to know why the land bank refers to this issue. Because, you know, a market value and a productive value are two very, very different things. If we look at the staff working in Parliament here, or we look at the members of Parliament, or you look at the members of the Cabinet, there is a huge discrepancy in the market value and the productive value of some of those people. Some have a productive value higher than their market value, and some have a productive value far less than their market value. However, everybody is hired at market value. In the case of the staff, the unions determine that. In the case of members of Parliament, there's some commission that determines that, and sets the same with the Cabinet. Now, when we come to market values, we have a trend in market values, and it's determinable. You can go to estate agents, you can go to the deeds office, you can find out what the market value of land is. Productive value, I think on page 16, the CEO referred to the situation where a large portion of the global humanity cannot afford food anymore because of high volatility of realities. You know, we're not living in utopia, we live in reality. And the volatility means that during any season, you look at the oil prices, you look at the rainfall, you look at commodity prices, the productive value will be jumping up and down all the time. So I'd like to answer, what is the bank's interest in highlighting this issue of market and productive values? Because I hope the bank's not planning to work on productive values, because then the bank will in future have even more troubles than they had in the past. But I'd like that answer, please. Then, secondly, the CEO referred on page 6 to municipalities and one municipality, one product. I really can't understand what that means. I'd like to know an explanation of that. And there's also on page 8 a reference to 47 municipalities to be increased, would be acting as branches. What I'd like to know there is how is this to be managed, and who's going to take the risk of that management? And the same question goes on page 17, I think it is where the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Land Affairs grants are referred to. Now, there was a time a few years back where Land Bank got involved when there wasn't capacity to actually administer or utilize the grants that came out first. But that soon ran out of steam, and the Land Bank withdrew from administering those grants. What is the planning here? And once again, who's going to take the risk on administering the grant money? Then the last question, this one goes to the Minister. Honourable Minister, I congratulate you in the beginning on the composition of the new board here. However, there's a glaring shortcoming or liemte. What's English for a liemte? I don't know. Anyway, there's a glaring omission here. We do have, it is an agricultural bank. The purpose of the bank is to serve agriculture. We do have organized agriculture. I'm very glad to see that. But we have only one half of organized agriculture. We have developing organized agriculture, but commercial organized agriculture, of which the loan book constitutes almost 90%, or more than 90%. It's completely absent. Why is this? And would you consider correcting that commission? Thank you.
Honourable Beasley.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must also commend the board by having a farmer as one of the board members. Adam Fundy. Chairperson, in the first presentation, mention is made of that Land Bank is currently not delivering effectively on its development. Are we able perhaps to indicate in our plans as to how long do we think we can turn this around. That is on page 2 of the first presentation. And on page 3, in the third last bulletin of the 6th slide, mention is made of the programs, agricultural programs in rural areas. Now, one would like to know, how do you intend implementing these programs? What sort of programs do you think of in the rural area? I take it that in the rural areas, for instance, most of those properties, such as the movable properties, don't even have title deeds, and what sort of development are you doing there? Now, when we come to the second presentation, mention in the first page is made on slide 2 of filling of key vacancies. Are we able perhaps to indicate as to how many of these key vacancies are, and when are we going to accomplish filling these vacancies? On page 2 of that presentation, I don't know if I'm repeating what the Honorable Porter Baxter did ask. Land acquisition prices were in excess of the productive values. I don't quite understand how does this happen, because I take it that before you grant the loan, you do your assessment, you do your valuation to say it can produce so much per hectare or whatever. So how do we come up getting losses or whatever in such cases? Because you've done your valuation before you land. Well, you educate me on that one. Then the last one on page 4. When dealing with the loan book, you made mention of what shall we call it, write off. Now, what I would like to know, what recovery attempts does the bank undertake before deciding to write off? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Beatrice.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I would like to apologize for my late coming. And then, secondly, I am having a question, just one question. Maybe the question has been dealt with because I arrived a bit late, but well, I think it will be communicated to me if it's like that. I would like to thank the presentation and would like to welcome and congratulate the new board, also saying that we hope that they must have realized within their 2 months in the office that there are quite a number of irregularities that transpired within the bank, and that they are definitely going to ensure that these problems are solved in an amicable manner. So my question is this. One would like to know if the land bank does have other financial institutions as stakeholders, and then if yes, what is the value of this institution? Do they assist in making some growth, or do they also assist in the losses? This is my question, Honorable Chair, and I thank you.
Thanks, Manguna. We did receive your apology. We accepted it. Honorable Dali?
When somebody sometimes is congratulated and thanked and appreciated by the city, I'm getting worried. I'm getting worried because it seems to me there's something wrong that they're not doing right. Once they are congratulated by DA, there's something wrong somewhere. My brother Clyde said, I must not call him comrade, I must call him brother. Today, he first called me comrade.
maybe there's a little bit of progress there. I don't know what that progress means. Maybe he's worried about what Helen is doing in Cape Town, and he thought he must come closer to me. Welcome, Comrade Cry. Thank you, Chair. my first question, Chair, will be on the basis of the object of the bank. But if you look at the object of the bank, it's stipulated very clear on the Land Bank Act. Section 3, subsection 1A, which in turn indicates the equitable ownership of agata land. I'm raising that issue in the context of the area that I'm going to raise later. And if you read that section, also read with the subsection 2A of the same Act, which also refers to the providing financial services to promote and facilitate access to ownership of land for the development of until the goods of there by historical disadvantaged persons. Then comes back to the issue at stake. There has been some problem in relation of the repayment of loans by the emerging funds. As a result of that, I'm told and advised that there are certain funds that have been repossessed by the lender. In terms of that, firstly, I would like to know how many of those funds that have been repossessed by the lender, and two, how that is the land bank intend to implement the act as stated in terms of the two sections and subsections of course. The second issue that I want also to check in terms of the presentation is in relation to your implementation plan. If I can quickly go to implementation plan, Annex A. Start from page 54, I suppose. If you look at HR, your line 1, 2, 3, 4, line 4, outdated policies and procedures. Then under solution, I say review policies and procedures and everything there. But the implementing date is 31st March 2009. What you'll be doing for the whole financial year? If you are only going to review those policies and procedures, the completing date by 31st 2009. Because once you complete by that date, which means after that date, the 1st of April, with then implementation. You can just clarify for me that part of the. And again, if I may quickly take you to page 56 of the implementation under retail, the subject, the retail there. Line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8. We talk about the current personnel not conversant with development imperatives. There are considerable skills mismatches. Under solution, talk about the workshops and training and everything, but it falls under retail. I thought it should fall under HR, because I talk about personnel there. Maybe you can clarify for me, just educate me, could you comment about that one? Under the same solution, ensure the acquisition of appropriately skilled staff. How to acquire the staff, you know? Maybe you can also educate me there, see, because I thought, in terms of the HR terminology, you'll be, of course, recruiting or employment or whatever, not acquisition of the appropriate staff. Maybe you tell me in terms of my position there, which I thought should fall under the HR sort of section. If I may also go back to question 54, I mean, page 54, too many acting positions. Your completion date there is 31st October 2008 to 31st March 2009. I'm told that when the chairperson was doing his own by the 30th of June, if I'm correct, he'll be coming before us for the turnaround strategy, if I help you very well. I'm assuming that maybe by that time some of the work will be done in terms of the acting position and such. And I may disclose that I'm available for the CEO. If Comrade Dry will support me. Comrade Dry, I'm availing myself for the position of the CEO.
No,
page 55. Lack of proper and adequate loan disbursement processes. Now, again, there under your conviction, talk about it, 1st March 2009, which is too long. Guys, that is too long. Very too long. But if there's an application of a loan today, then you are thinking of rectifying those bureaucracies by the 31st of March 2009. I'm told somewhere, somehow, that one of the this NEPRO CEO once complained about that particular issue in relation to the delaying processes, that in terms of those processes. I thought maybe you should speed that process much faster. If you look at the budget, come back to the other issue. The acting CEO refers to consultancy. I always hammer this issue. But maybe the acting CFO, can you tell me where you have budgeted for the consultant? But if I look at this budget as we were presenting to us, I didn't see anywhere area where there is a certain budget that is budgeted for consultants. Maybe you can just clarify for me there, you know, if I remember I have not read this. Supposing where it's supposed to be is something else under restructuring cost. It's the research and development, the planning and development, IT additional cost, and credit scoring model, whatever. Maybe I'm trying to check in terms of where have you budgeted for the consultant. Maybe you can help me. Acting CFO and acting CEO, so that I can be clear in terms of that. Maybe the last point under retailer in page 56, under line 2 from the bottom, poor succession planning. You talk about management performance contracts. I don't know how many that have signed those contracts who are permanent, not the acting ones, because the acting ones may not sign. I suppose that the acting ones are not going to get bonus at the end of the level. Well, that's a critical method. But the people that are performing well than ever, they're getting bonus later in the day. Maybe you see this management performance contract. In terms of completion, there you are talking about 31st June 2008. I'm assuming, therefore, that by that time, most of the acting position will be permanent position. So that they then therefore signed this permanent management contract, which we'll appreciate if you can not maybe submitting those to us, but anyway, we're able to know exactly that they've signed, and they're going to be accountable for that particular statement that they've signed. Cost of funds too high, and the same retail, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, line number 5, you talk about implement a product funding mix between IT, Mafisa, treasury funding, or donor funding. My question there, you know, there's a problem, Comrade Minister, let me come back to you. In terms of the realignment of the funds, there are so many institutions and so many funds that are scattered all over the show. You know, I once raised this issue at the meeting of the trade industry, where there were 19 agencies within that department. And among those 19 agencies, 3 or 4 of those agencies are overlapping with agriculture and agriculture. And I don't know whether those funds that are sitting at trade industry are also assisting in terms of what's supposed to be done within agriculture and agriculture. You've got your Mafisa, your Elra, your Tata, and all those institutions. Sometimes they ended up having their own staff, others not, of course. that you once raised a good, very good issue in terms of the special purpose bank, which I was told that the president once supported that. It is a good idea. And I'm told again, he even said that that money should not fall under the land bank. It should be a standalone structure that is going to focus specifically on what needs to be done. That thing has vanished. I don't know what has happened. Because we thought it was going to be a good idea. And I'm sure, Chairman, you're still going to present our report to the chamber. That is your Chile and Brazilian, whatever, trip. Where there for some of these things, you know, that are working very, very good. The Incra and Accra and all those names there, you know, they are working very good. And that institution is in Brazil, for example, is accountable directly to the Minister of Agriculture. Nobody else. And the CEO of that institution reports directly to the Minister of Agriculture. Nobody else, you know. Not via these all the institutions or DGs and all those things. They become part of the DGs, the functionaries, and all those things. They know exactly what to do, and they're supposed to do what they're supposed to be doing. That was a very good idea, but I think Chairperson, you said you're going to make a recommendation on that of the report, so that if that is going to be done, we try to direct the minister to do it. But anyway, let me leave that. Let me come back to the last issue. The last issue in terms of you and I'm done. Thank you very much.
Thank you. For the first time. next on my list is Honorable Thompson.
Few comments, Chair. Firstly, what kind of interventions is the bank going to make to increase productivity in the agricultural sector? In the 2006-2007 corporate plan, it was reported that the bank is reviewing new non-interest revenue sources, new products and new delivery channels to better meet the needs of clients and improve customer services. What progress was made since that corporate plan on these issues? Secondly, what initiatives did the bank undertake or will be devising to create an enabling environment for the implementation of Agri-BEE? How many BEE transactions has it financed and for how much? The bank should provide a breakdown also in terms of women, youth and people with disabilities as groups. One of the challenges that faced the bank is recovering of debts in arrears, and that's been alluded to again today. In the last two financial years, the bank has provided doubtful debts of for doubtful debts to the tune of 2.3 billion rand. According to the audit report for 2006 and 2007, policies and procedures for writing off debts were not formalized. As a result, loans were merely just written off. Has the bank now formalized policies and procedures for debt write-offs? Is there a policy in place? Yes, I'm sure. If you do have such a policy in place, what was recovered? Furthermore, emerging farmers are complaining of slow turnaround times in applying for loans. According to Mr. Agri Mahanyana, Managing Director of the National Emerging Red Meat Producers Organization, it takes an average of 6 months for loans to be approved and sometimes even longer. How has or how will the bank address this challenge? And the age-old excuse, Chair, that we have capacity problems, please, you are a bank, you are competing for business, you must remember that if you don't provide that business, there are others waiting in the queue, other institutions that will do so. And once they have done it, your client will be lost to you for good. Furthermore, Chair, the bank has decided to sell the land development loans, those 8 or 9 that were spoken of. I would like to know what kind of loans were those. What we've heard from the chairperson of the board is that it was residential and commercial. But now, residential what? Were there residential developments? Or did somebody gone take a loan to buy a palatial Camps Bay residence for 100 million or something of that sort? If you could give us a breakdown on that. And what is the progress on that issue so far? And has this been communicated to your clients, those people that have those loans? And what are the possible loss and or further obligations, if any, as a result of the identified irregularities? What is the contingent liability for approved loans where further payouts were discontinued? Now, Chair, I take into account that the chairperson did mention that they have briefed senior and junior counsel, but still we would like to know what is the bank's view, what is the board's view? Following the financial scandal, Chair, and the bad performances of the bank for the past few years, it is critical that the bank should restore the confidence of its investors, as well as the large-scale lenders like co-ops and so forth. What is the plan of the bank to boost its confidence among investors? And then, Chair, there has been a big play made about the fact that the bank would like to align with DOA and DLA facilities. I take it the various grants and so forth. And now this sort of thing has been in the pipeline for a long time. And unfortunately, every year it's just a perennial thing. You hear something mentioned in passing. What I would like to know today, and I'm sure that this committee would like to know, is what tangible results can you show? What has happened to align yourself in the loans that you provide along with those various grants and stuff? Chair, I want to align this also to the proposed 5 million hectares of land to be purchased and to be distributed to 10,000 farmers. Now, again, a fleeting statement was made that the bank would be involved in it. Can we be given some specific details? In what way and how would the bank be involved in it? Now, may I just mention here too, Chair, we must be very cautious not to create expectations which we cannot satisfy. The easiest part in agriculture, the easiest, if you have the money or you have the necessary financial backing, which you will have to repay, and of course even your own money you want to return on, the easiest part would be to buy the land. Simple. You got the money, got the assistance, you buy the land. The most difficult part is to make that land produce, to make it sustainable. That is the most difficult part. And I would venture to say that for every land you spend on land purchase, you will need 2 to 3 lands over and above that for every land in order to get that project sustainable. Chair, I just want to mention that in this slide here, on page 4, the bottom slide, supporting values, guided by Patrocat, integrity, honest and ethical conduct in all of our interactions. Now, Chair, it's a beautiful principle. But if I'm overly critical, please accept it as a means of trying to tickle your brains so that we try and produce better and live by these principles. Whereas from my peers, I always surrounded myself with people that are older than me. There are two things that I would like to lift out. The one is always be brutally frank and honest in all your dealings. And I've tried to live by that. And the other one is do not shy away. Tell a person what you believe is wrong or right. Keep away from yes people. People who will praise you all the time. Unfortunately, I do not belong to a mutual admiration society. Now, Chair, with regard to this, what I would like to say is that you have mentioned that in order to get the bank on a footing, and I take the words of the chairperson, and I have full sympathy with the board, that you have walked into a burning house. I take it that that house is already burnt down, and you are now picking up the ashes and trying to pull something out of it. My problem, Chair, is that over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had officials of the land bank appearing here before us and telling us beautiful stories about their corporate plans and how they're going to turn this around and how they're going to turn that around. And I say here today, and I know that thousands of emerging people feel let down, feel disappointed at the kind of service that was promised over the years was not forthcoming, did not happen. Now, Chair, when you are rebuilding something that has collapsed, you virtually start from scratch. And when you are going to start from scratch, I think some other members have already alluded to this. I need to say, Chair, that we need to look very seriously at the original mandate which created the land bank. It was after the four provinces at that time became the Union of South Africa. 2 years after that. And there was a massive poverty problem amongst white people. And the government of them day, the Union government, well, at that time there were many English people too. Many English people that were running the country at that time. Those people, the white people at that time, and I'm not being racist, looked after the interests of the white people. And they created mechanisms like the land bank to do exactly that. And we should perhaps refresh our memories. What did they do? I'm 67 years old. And if I was 67 in 1912 and white, I would get a loan repayable over 60 years. Now, please, Chair, I hope I could live 60 years, but it's doubtful that I can ever do that. I must look at the law of reality. And, well, you know, she may all go before me, who knows? She had 2 heart attacks. Now, Chair, what was the idea? The idea was that land will perpetually remain in the hands of white people, because the moment the patriarch goes, one of the sons will become a farmer. Normally, you know, especially in the Afrikaner community in them days, one would become a predikant, one would become a onderwijzer. With all due respect, you are for 2 reverend friends here. And I consider them both to be my peers. Now, Che, that was the idea. But what did they get in addition? When they got the loan, they were also given animals, implements, seeds and things over and above the loan. And over and above that, they were given a monthly allowance to see them through until the first crops arrive and they have some cash. This is what was done. Now, Chair, what was good for the poor people of 1912 ought to be good also for the poor people of 2008. What we have done, Chair, is we have reformed land, we have distributed land, we have restituted land, but Chairperson, we have left many of our people at the mercy of financial institutions and other loan sharks. What is the net result, Chair? We are seeing failures upon failures on the ground. The other thing that those people in 1912 had is that the government of the day took the people by the hand and walked the road along with them, by which I mean that they were given extension support and whatever other support the government of the day could provide. Now, Chair, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, but I believe that that is the only way in which we can do the job, which means, Chair, that in order to carry out the developmental mandate of the land bank, the land bank needs a massive injection of funding. And that funding has to be made available to the developmental community, the developmental farmers, at interest rates which are very, very, very affordable. And I tell you, Chair, that even 8% of Mafisa is not an affordable interest rate. I know of many of our people that are struggling and that are battling. And Chair, there's very little sympathy that comes from the lenders these days. All they are told is that we will prolong your agony by giving you an extension, but the accumulated interest over the period that the loan has been unserviced will carry on. You are given a longer term, but you will never get out of that debt trap. But therefore, Chair, my advice to the bank is that, yes, you are guided by the State of the Nation address, you are guided by the policies of the government. But where you find that there are certain mandates given to you that you do not see possible to implement, and be brutally frank, be honest, and you will not be trampling on any toes if you are brutally frank and honest. Because at the end of the day, friends, we are all answerable for our deeds. And if we have taken part in something that we knew was wrong and was creating a death threat for our people, we will also be answerable for having contributed to it. And Chair, I feel that if the bank wants to really turn around, and I repeat, we've heard so many turnaround strategies over the last many years, that's why you may perhaps find that I may not be as optimistic as many of my colleagues, and that's as a result of what has happened to us over the last many years. Now, I'm not holding it against you. I hope that this will spur you on to do better. But, Chair, the development mandate of the bank has to be financed by the state. The commercial book, and you must enlarge on that commercial book, and Mr. Acting CEO, not just for the purpose of food security. It is sound business to see that we have profitable business. It is sound business, not just to have food security. We should enlarge on that book and try and woo back those customers, large customers that have left us. Because that's a money spinner, that pays your salaries. We cannot subsidize your salaries from the state coffers. Now, Chair, that is my advice. If it is followed, I believe that there are implications, but I do not believe that the implications are insurmountable. And then finally, Chair, there are concerns at the moment. Firstly, that in addition to the security which, or collateral which the property itself, the farm itself provides, the bank still insists on getting additional security, which the commercial banks do not demand. For example, they want your insurance policies to be ceded to the bank. And I would like to give you, one of your customers, account number 109416, where an amount of 280,000 rand was borrowed and policies to the amount of more than 280,000 rand, that value, were demanded. It's on record. Now, in that way, Chair, you are not going to get business from our people. Because our people, the overwhelming majority, do not know about insurance, the rural people. All they know is about funeral policies. Secondly, Chair, our people do not have financial track records. And therefore, you can't measure them against a commercial person. Wow. You can't expect it. You can't. Secondly, Chair, the bank has withdrawn a facility which it has created. And that is similar to the Standard Banks and Net Banks and others' excess bond facility. And if you have a loan with a bank on property, there's a collateral, it's not on cattle that can vanish tomorrow, and you have extra funds, the people were encouraged to pay them in and to collect those funds when it was needed. The bank has withdrawn that. I would like to know what informed the bank to do that. I believe that it is wrong to create an expectation that this can be done. And when the people go for it, you withdraw the facility. It is wrong. It is not good business. Chair, thank you very much. I trust that something will come out of this. And Mr. Chairperson, I pray for you, for your board. But let us also remember that CEOs and CFOs, they've changed in the last few years, yet as if change has gone out of fashion. And therefore, I trust that we'll bring stability by appointing people. Chair, what is important in jobs like these, where you have to help uplift your people, is that you don't look at the pay package alone. There is an element of pride, an element of nationalism, that God has given me the opportunity to serve my fellow humans. Please have that imbued in you, because without that, if you are merely looking at the rents and cents at the end of the month as your pay packet, you will fail in your mission. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Abrams, Honorable Mayor.
I will definitely not be as long as that. I just want a small question on the impairment on loan losses. And if I add that 3 years, it comes to 1.3 billion rand. And we don't have the figure for 2008 yet. As I understand corporate bookkeeping, you when in doubt of recovery, you write off. But as I understand also, when after that you write off, you start recovering. Are you doing that? Are you trying to recover that almost 1.3 billion rand? And how are you going about that? Thank you.
Family leader?
Let's ask one question that I need some clarification. On page 16, they say the land bank will create business centers that will focus on emerging farmer support. I just want them to explain more when will they start creating the centers and how are they going to deal with it? I just want to be clear how they're going to be dealing with it.
Thank you, sir. I was worried that the new board members may think I can't speak. So say something. I think my question relates to what the Mam Lisiya may be. His answer is going to be as to what plans does the bank have to support the subsistence farmers in the communal areas. The other question, sir, relates to a question that was asked, I think, by Comrade Lali about the number of farms that have been repossessed because those who were given loans could not honor the payment of those loans. Now, these farms, are there any of them that have been resold in order for the bank to recoup the losses? And if they are such, to what category of farmers have they been sold? Is it PDIs or PDAs? Your PDAs, previously PADs, previously advantaged people. Because if that were to be like that, then it means it defeats the whole purpose. And the bank, I know you're new, but would you consider the idea of leasing out the land rather than encouraging people to buy land with the money they do not own, where they end up losing both the money and the land, so that they can use the land productively rather than be merely proud of the fact that they own the land, when in fact the land continues to be owned by the financial institutions. Thank you.
Thanks, Councilor Mamisa. Honorable Abrams are trying to draw the attention of the board to the core mandate of the land bank. And, if you listen to Honorable Fanica, he says that it was a political instruction for the bank to develop. In fact, the mandate of the bank comes from here, through the Land and Agricultural Development Bank Act, which establishes the bank. And if you look at your corporate plan, from page 10 to page 11, and also the act that established the bank, which is, I'm sure should be having the copy of, it explains the mandate of the bank, the purpose for which it exists, and essentially that is development. In fact, if you read from both, from the first to the last aspect of the mandate, it's only one area where you've got to do commercial work. And I think this point needs to be emphasized. But if you were to look at the composition of your loan book, the development, aspect is only 8%. And I think it's an area which the board has got to look at and say, if we're a development bank, ideally, what is the funding model, that can talk to that specific mandate as you finalize your strategy? And the second element is the issue, which needs to be re-emphasized, about the interest rate regime on both commercial and development side. And I think when you finalize the strategy, you need to talk to that point, so that when you go to Treasury, you are able to say, this is our mandate, this is how we understand it, and this is how we think we need to execute it, and these are the demands and the needs of our clients, stakeholders, and so on, and developing farmers. The last point, really, is about when somebody applies for loan from the bank, how do you determine that this applicant is a development applicant or is a commercial applicant? And consequently, what are the terms that accompany whatever determination that you arrive at in terms of classifying whether this applicant is commercial or development applicant? So, I'm told tea is ready outside. We'll not break for tea because there's so many questions that have been asked, and time is not cooperating with us. We asked for 1 hour, 10 minutes to ask questions and make comments. I suppose you need more than that to respond to those. So we'll not break for tea. So what we'll do, those who are eager to have to just walk out and come back. But in the meantime, we'll have to take the responses. Minister, will start with you, and the chairperson is here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to thank the honorable members for their encouraging words to the new board. Indeed, it has taken us time to actually set up this new board. They really have shown their patriotism and commitment. They have treaded where angels and cowards fear to go, and as the chair said, they walked into a house on fire. But I must say, in the last few weeks, when they started to work in the bank, they really demonstrated commitment, dedication, and have put in a lot of hard work. I also want to say that, yes, the board has had to comprise of a number of various talents, various professions and skills that we needed to rebuild the land bank. And I know that, there's been an outcry about representation of agriculture, but I think we did our best in the circumstances. Because we had to look into people with banking experience, people with finance expertise, people with agriculture, people with managerial and business skills, and within that, how to accommodate agriculture. And I think at the moment we have Professor Van Skalvig, who is an agricultural economist. We have Professor Theo Potgieter, also an agricultural economist, and I know that they work very well with the big cooperatives and consult closely together with the chair. We also have the farmer, Reverend Bangula, who is not just representing development farmers. I think they always say they are also commercial farmers. And I know that they work closely with Agri-SA, with Agri-Business Chamber, and represent that whole constituency. The brief of the board clearly was to go and stabilize the bank. It was to ensure that we have policies in place, ensure that we have systems in place, and I think within the few weeks they have been there, they have begun to clean up the house and ensure that indeed there are systems in place. We have heard about the number of senior staff vacancies, including the CEO, and as the chair has said, we're finalizing the appointment of the CEO within the coming months. We also have the CFO, who has been suspended, and I think this acting CEO has given a full briefing to the committee. He is going through a disciplinary hearing as we speak, and I am sure it will be finalized within weeks. And as a result, we hope that once that has been done, we'll be able to advertise and have a full-time CFO. We have other vacancies, serious fraud and other crimes or acts of dishonesty that we're dealing with. And as mentioned, the case of Gerald Hechter, who was found guilty on all counts and has been fired, and his fraud case has been reported to the police. And others, GMHR, has also been found guilty, has been fired, and we are now going to advertise those posts. So I have confidence that the board is dealing with this matter speedily and expeditiously, and will ensure that we have proper management in due course. I know, therefore, because of the critical shortage and deficiency in terms of our staff, particularly senior management, the board has decided to assist, and I don't think we would have had this report and the reports that we have had today if they had not assisted a great deal and worked through with the staff through that ops committee that they decided to set up. But that is a temporary measure, and I know, as the Honorable Van Niekerk has emphasized, that indeed it is not a normal, it's an abnormal situation. But as we know that the bank is in a critical situation at this point in time, I am sure within the end of this month, early next month, we'll be able to have proper management in place and we'll be able to do away with this huge responsibility that has been put on the shoulders of the board. I also want to agree with some of the comments from the honorable members, Honorable Lali, who has mentioned the urgency of speeding up implementation of the staff plan, the urgency of addressing these vacancies, and also we want to say that we are aware of what needs to be done, as I've already said. The one-stop shop, again, we're working on that with the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Land Affairs. We'll be ensuring that we set this in place as part and parcel of this corporate plan in consultation with those departments. The member has also mentioned the STV. The problem we had with the STV was that we needed an act of parliament to put it in place, and that is why we therefore reversed a little bit, because that would take us a long time. As you know, members would know, it takes 18 months to 2 years to actually draft policy and bring it to cabinet, bring it to parliament, public hearings, and all those processes. So we observed that this government in its lifetime will not be able to finalize such policy. That's why we're looking at a turnaround that is going to emphasize development, that has the option of the commercial book and the development book, and that development book will be able to do some of the things that the SPV was going to do, and that development program will assist us to address and implement some of the urgent priorities that, including the APEX project, presidential priorities that the STV was meant to address. But I'm sure in future, the department can still look at the option of the STV, but perhaps after the elections, honorable member. I know the president supported the idea of the STV, but was more worried. At that time, we're thinking of putting it under the land bank. He was more worried about the status of the land bank last year and said he does not believe that the land bank, as it had the various problems that it was going through, would be in a position to nurture this new bank and have afford the environment for it to grow and realize its mandate. So I think that was the concern at that point in time, but as I say, together with the members, we can still review that in future. Perhaps once we have revived the land bank and we have set up the necessary systems in place that will assist it to realize its mandate. I also want to agree with Honorable Thompson on the 27 branches. I think we need to look and check. Is transformation happening there? What are the mandate? Are they able to realize or to deliver on our mandate, and what needs to be done, staff shortages, management level? We still also have to go back and review those branches and see what is happening there. I think also honorable members have mentioned countries like Chile, countries like, I've mentioned also India, Malaysia, where there are similar banks and or in agencies, and I have encouraged the board and management to actually look at those experiences and see what it is that we can learn from those countries. They are countries of our same size economy, similar challenges. They are also agriculture-based in terms of their economies. So I think they are good examples for us to look at. I also agree that the turnaround for applications management has to look at this, and perhaps the board must find a way we can shorten the period. People, I've received quite a number of complaints. People wait for too long. I also want to say that the crisis that we're facing, the food price challenge, which is a world phenomenon, not only a South African problem, is also an opportunity for us to invest in agriculture. I think the final or the bottom line for agriculture is to ensure that we increase production. Cabinet has set up an interdepartmental task team that is looking at this matter. Agriculture has been asked to lead that task team. We are meeting as an interministerial committee to look at this challenge. But what we have said over and above various interventions, from social development to the Department of the Trade and Industry, Treasury, the Presidency, we are saying that in the long run, increased food production will assist us stabilize food prices. And we are also saying that through supporting agriculture, this is why, Honorable Abraham, we are going to continue to support commercial agriculture. We're saying the increased cost of input, diesel, fertilizer, we have to ensure as government that we assist much more than we have. We're also saying that the fallow lands out there in our former homelands, in our rural areas, we need to ensure that those lands are made productive. Whilst we are accepting the fact that government has to invest more in agriculture, we also want to say our people must also be committed. They must work hard, they must get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Agriculture is not an easy enterprise. We have to commit and we have to work hard. And we are also saying that we need to look at mechanization, because inkomo zafa nguku. And also we need for us to be able to increase the kind of production levels that we want to see. We need to also look at increasing land under irrigation. We also need to ensure that we support our farmers in terms of the CAST, broadening those programs, the MAFISAs, the LRAT scheme, and find a way, as I said, through that one-stop shop to create an enabling environment for farmers to do agriculture and to increase production. I also want to say that, yes, we are going to look at the original mandate of the land bank, which was development, which was ensuring food security, which was ensuring that our agriculture becomes sustainable and prosperous. But I also want to emphasize once again the fact that we need, as the Honorable Member said, we need to be brutal when we go to our constituencies and honest and say those fallow lands also need hands, they also need arms, they also need warm bodies to work on the land and produce. The government can come on board and give the support, but we cannot be there, feet and hands, to do the work. If you look in Germany, those people work very hard. That is why they are successful. If you look in China, those people work very hard. That is why their economies are growing. You go anywhere in Kenya, 60% of their GDP is based on agriculture. If you look at some of our commercial farmers also, they wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to bed very late in the evening. But I want to say that whilst the government will come on board, we also have to get out there. We're looking at work for food programs. We're looking at handing out land, maybe leasing out land and making it available. We are launching a recovery plan for our extension officers. I know that we are weak at that level, but again, we're going to need a commitment from all our people to say now is the time to work hard. This month, the Premier of Limpopo will be going to Italy. The Italians are interested in coming to invest in agriculture in South Africa. They want to set up a food a food truck in Limpopo, in the Tallinn area. We also have the German Minister of Agriculture who met with me, who are here in the country. They are also interested in investing in South Africa, particularly in the dairy industry. We have the Netherlands government. They are also interested in coming to South Africa and invest in agriculture. The EU, I can count so many international organizations, donors, that would like to come to South Africa and invest in agriculture, because we still have a lot of fatherland. Europe doesn't have land. China is running short of land. They are all interested to come and assist us produce food, not just for the nation and the region. I think we're already doing that, but we are well placed actually to produce food for other parts of the world. We have to massify our animal production. I know Malaysia, Indonesia, China, they want our red meat, but we are still net importers of red meat. And again, if you go to our rural areas, Bafuile pa oba udlali, baneni kumpuba ya upaya, which we need to upgrade, which we need to upgrade, and make sure that they are marketable, and make sure that we don't just increase production, but we also increase our exports by 10 to 15%, so that in the end, agriculture can make a meaningful contribution to the economy of South Africa, to job creation and poverty alleviation. So finally, I want to thank the board. I want to thank Honorable Member Gates for very helpful contributions that we will consider as we finalize this channel. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. The chair just gone out a little bit. It's not a bloodless coup. Please, rest assured. The chairperson, it's over to you. Don't think that because the minister has spoken, then therefore you're not going to answer. Answer questions accordingly. Thank you very much. I want to make sure that before he comes back, I must have conveyed this message.
Thank you, Honorable. Yes, thanks so much for the opportunity to respond. And also note with the gratitude for the comments and the sense that has been conveyed. And also note with respect to that the House conveyed to us a great latitude to be able to work harder to turn around the bank. And in order to do justice to the questions, I would like my colleagues from management, I'll ask Saki, they can see all to respond, and I would accordingly ask the Deputy Chairman, Prof. Saskazi, to come and assist, and as well as the CFO, as much as can.
Thanks a lot, Chair. And thanks to honorable members for the comments and questions. On some of the comments, we won't really respond to some of them. But I think one point which we agree with the members on is that a significant portion of delivering on this mandate hinges on the funding and how the government is funded. On some of the questions, the issue about productive and market value, the analogy which was made about HR is very interesting, because once there's a high market value than productive value, then in no time you're going to want to fire the person because you're not getting what you're paying for. But when you have a farm, it's not that easy. So we're looking at it more from a financing perspective, that it is a reality. We're not saying it is wrong or right, but it is a reality that you have distinctions between productive values and market values, And for as long as the financier is not looking at what the farm can produce to be able to pay the loan, you're going to have a problem. Because the person comes and says, finance me 8 million for a wine farm, and you know that that wine farm can only be able to sustain a debt of 2 million. So that is the reality. And if that reality is not addressed, you then will have a problem. And we're saying maybe that is where the grant funding should respond to those disparities, and also look at the possibility of longer term loans, because if the term of the loan is longer, you then can be able to pay it over time to compensate for the shortfall. So it is from those practicalities that was the issue. And we may be going up and down in answering the questions. But the other one, I think, Honorable Abraham raised about insurance. Maybe it's one of the responsibilities as the land bank we have to educate people on financial products that are available and what are the benefits of it, either than looking at the short-term cost. And one of those is insurance. We have the land bank insurance company, and we need to give it the prominence that it deserves, so that we can understand the value that it can add even to these rural economies. Recently, we have launched a product called Futhi for under 3,000 insurance. It's an insurance product for individuals who earn less than 3,000 a month, and the rates that they are charging are fairly competitive. Because again, if you're going to give a person, which is, I think, one of the reasons why the land bank insurance company was created, was that you don't want, when the person who has been financed, when that person passes away, then the financial institution takes over that security which was financed. Because if we finance you for 30 years on a mortgage loan, and you pass away 15 years down the line, the land bank would have to recover that money by taking over that security, or someone else taking over that loan. So by insisting on insurance, those are some of the benefits that may be there long term. Again, we've lost a bit of money as the land bank on write-offs, where there was no security value at all. So insurance mitigates a bit of that risk. But the point I agreed to is that maybe it has an additional burden, and we have Mafisa, where up to 25,000 can be dispersed without security. But you must then be comfortable that the project is viable and that it can be funded with a loan. So those are means of things that are being considered. They may not be sufficient, but I don't think the matter of insurance should be viewed purely negatively. It has its own benefits in the medium to long term, even for this client. But as I said, we take the point you mentioned. Municipalities, we said we accept again, I think, Mrs. Honourable Member mentioned as well that our branch network may not be as accessible as we would want it to be. So we said in the short to medium term, which is the next 3 years, we would like to expand in line with the district municipalities at least, so that we extend our reach. But that is not necessarily going to be in the form of the branches we have. It may be that you're going to have two same people who are having a small office, or you have two things being located in a co-op, or you'll use the post office to process applications of the land bank. It's those kinds of partnerships that we're going to have, so that we extend our reach. The link of the one product, one municipality, is a campaign by the Department of Agriculture and Land Affairs, where they are trying to encourage and say, maybe in Stellenbosch, what you're good at, so produce more grapes. Out of those grapes, you will do wine, you will do juices, and everything else that revolves around that particular product. There will still be other activities that are done, but it's to start to encourage each municipality to have an agriculture component and say we will focus in this. One other example is Forte. Forte has focused on woolly projects and dairy, and there's a lot of activities that they're trying to build centering on that, processing of leather, processed meats, and processed cheese, and all sorts of things. So that is the concept that we say to want to join the land bank. On this point, I know the Deputy Chair wanted to add. I don't know, Deputy Chair, if you want to add now, or I must give. Okay. On the development, how long can we turn around the current skewness of the land bank? We said over the next 3 years we want to grow the book by 3 billion. It's a bit conservative by any measure when you look at the kinds of demands that are there to deal with land reform, agriculture debt, and so on. But we said we'll move for now from that small base until we get certain basics in place. And as part of that discussion, between now and June, July, we'll be engaging with the National Treasury to demonstrate to them the implications on funding if we were to increase the book 3-4 times, the implications on capacity, and we would have to put those systems in place. Because again, what we don't want is the experience that some of the members mentioned on Mafisa, where you disperse and then you later have to raise huge provisions because you did not have the systems in place. So through the partnerships in the short term, those are some of the things we'll be doing, because it's a big program of government that has to be done, and we can't afford to do it with the kinds of losses that we've seen in the past couple of years. So we're not by any measure saying that this is sufficient to deal with the development imperative which the Land Act puts on the institution. The matter of collateral, I think I touched on how we view insurance to assist as part of that. But I think part of it is going to be, again, what is the willingness of government to take risk on development? Because if then, which is something the National Treasury colleagues may not like, if there's an understanding that we can accept that the land bank can lose up to 10% of what it lends, and that 10% will be subsidized, then that right of the responsibility of the state and not that of the land bank. So those are some of, again, of the things that we need to agree on, because for as long as we purely are measured on these performance targets, which are financial, we may tend to take a bit of a conservative approach and say, if we're lending, we must at least have cover over that money, because if that money is not recovered, then we will come to this committee and we will say your loan losses were 1.3 billion, how much did you recover of that? And on those figures, year on year, on average, I think on legal recoveries it's been about 200 million, and on recoveries from credit it's been about 20 million. So it's low when you look at the size of the book that we have, which is about 2.3 billion non-performing. And there are now concerted efforts to start, as we said, on the high non-performing loans, and we also have to increase the number of people that are looking on the structuring of these loans. And one of the proposals that credit has had was to take recoveries from branches, which we can put at the head office and have them dedicating more focus. Filling of vacancies, and in the documents you will see typically the targets are 3 to 6 months, but of course there's different levels of urgency on the positions. The executive positions have to be dealt with as a matter of priority. So when giving those time frames, it does not talk to that. But when you go down to the branch levels, you will realize that even there's a lot of acting area managers, and it creates a ripple effect, because the person who's acting area manager, someone below them is acting. So for that, we don't want to be too ambitious and think we can fill all of those positions in 2 months. It's just not feasible. Maybe 3 to 6 months or even a bit more will resolve across the organization some of the critical vacancies. The recoveries of write-offs, I mentioned institutions and stakeholders, Mamukuna, that she asked that we work with. We don't have direct links with certain institutions. It's indirect. Some of them are the agribusinesses which on land to other individuals. We, on the funding side now, starting to look at cooperating with one international financier that came and approached us and said they would be willing to co-finance our exposures with the big commercial entities. At times we run into the difficulty of concentration risks, where ratings agencies and even Scopa say you're giving too much money to one client. So to those clients, we're looking at co-financing them with someone else. But into the future, some of the partnerships we're looking at are with institutions like the ARC. So we've not currently benefited a lot out of partnerships. It's something that we're starting to talk about. Objects of the land bank, I think we mentioned, repossessed farms by the land bank. Currently, we have about 32. I think sometime last year, we took a decision that none of the farms would be sold to individuals that are not previously disadvantaged individuals, and that secondly, they would be sold to the Department of Land Affairs. From that point, the farms that were in possession of the land bank were either to previously disadvantaged individuals or Department of Land Affairs. Maybe later we can give detail on the split and who and what happened. But again, last year there had been an agreement between NAFU, the Department of Land Affairs and the Land Bank on a moratorium on development clients. So no legal action is currently taken on those emerging or previously disadvantaged individuals that were financed. What has been done is a study on what were the causes of their failures, and to then say what can be done to either resuscitate those farms or recover the amount of money, because you may find there are certain occasions where a farm has been abandoned, so action is being taken on those ones. But a detailed study was done on the causes of those failures and what can be done to resuscitate them. Retail, we accept Honorable Rally that maybe the terminology is not correct. We're talking recruitment. Too many acting positions is the same point I was making, that it's at different levels, and not all of those levels may be filled in the next 2 months. That's why the targets are stretched a bit. And again, when you look at the time frame, we've put a time frame that would say 31 March 09. Including the review of the policy implementation and monitoring. So by end of March 2009, we should be reporting on progress. It would not mean that it's only then that the policies are being reviewed. So again, maybe it is not communicated properly. Turnaround times, we accept the point that has been made. They are still poor, and we have to work on that. It's a management issue, it's a performance matter, and we can make excuses about IT, but it's something we have control over and management has to work on. Succession planning, yes, we accept it has to be part of the performance contracts. The performance contracts will be linked to the targets that are in this corporate plan, and succession planning is quite crucial so that we don't come to this committee again and say, because executive management has left, then you have a vacuum in the organization. You should be able to function across. The SPV and consolidation of funds, that is a point that we accept. In a small scale, we're starting to work with some of the agencies. We have contact with FIDA, the Small Enterprise Development Agency. They have competencies to assist in the creation of co-ops, and they even have grants of up to 300,000, which they can give to individuals that want to start co-ops. So those entities that have approached us and said they want to start a co-op, we refer them to CEDA and say CEDA must assist them with the business plans and the grants, and we can benefit out of that. The recoverability of debts, I mentioned branches, interest rates. We concede it is a big challenge, and a lot of it is influenced by our cost of funding. And unfortunately, until that situation changes on how our funding model works, we would effectively be paying people to bank with the land bank if we charge lesser rates than what is available in the market, and that will immediately put us in a loss-making position. So in the short to medium term, we're using what is available, MAFISA, and to look at the products that we have and see whether we can give a product that is competitive. So it is a challenge to that. Increase in product production finance. That's in the main how we contribute to increasing agriculture production. The Department of Agriculture is leading a team of departments that are working on the challenge of food security, and there are various programs that the various departments in the social cluster will contribute to. And as we said, our contribution to the land bank will be on financing production loans. Improving of customer service with our turnaround times and our cost of funds is not something we can proudly say we've improved over the past year. It still remains a challenge and one of the things we have to deliver on in this current financial year. Agri-BEE, we can come back with the exact figure. We've not funded a lot of Agri-BEE deals. To my knowledge, I think there's about two in Cape Town that were financed, but we can give the detail you want on youth, women, and how much exactly is and where they are. And part of the what informs our targets for development is that the Agri-BEE charter now is being gazetted, and we think there will be an increase in Agri-BEE deals that are likely to be funded, and that's where the land bank will contribute. DOA, DLA grants, we have started on a small scale to work with the Department of Land Affairs. They came with a project in Gauteng where they said we must look at and see how we can partner, starting with the valuation to assist the Department of Land Affairs to determine whether they're paying value for some of these funds. And we've also said on occasions where they acquire and going concerns, there is a limitation that there are certain things they can't buy, like equipment, they can't finance production input, and that is the land bank will finance those portions where there's a constraint. It has not as yet taken off the ground as fast as we would have wanted, but those are some of the engagements we have with the department on how we can partner. The land for development transactions is residential development. So residential development, and then there's the chair said one of them is a commercial development. Confidence to funders, ultimately what will also give confidence to the funders is them getting a sense that our clients are comfortable, our shareholder is comfortable, and so are other stakeholders of the land bank. We, on a regular basis, engage them to give them feedback on the facts that are happening in the land bank. For example, when there's a report that so much money has been stolen in the land bank, we put facts to say this is what has happened, this is how much money we're likely to lose, and this is how much money is likely to be recovered. So we engage with them on a regular basis, almost monthly, some of the key clients to give them comfort on what is going on in the land bank. But I think ultimately it's when we put our results out in the market that things will improve. On splitting the development and the commercial book, what are the things we will do on development? The non-financial support in the main areas that interest us is training, access to markets, and mentoring. Those are the things that we think are quite critical in the success or lack of success of a farmer. And as we said, not all of them we do ourselves as the land bank. We may partner with individuals or entities that have better capacity than we do. Subsistence farming, a bit of a dicey area. There, our involvement is on those subsistence farmers who want to be commercial, because by definition, those may be people who produce not for surplus. So it is in the areas like your former homeland, where there's vast tracts of land but it's not used productively. So those are the areas we would like to make interventions on. But on your small gardens and food production for household food security, those are the projects I think the minister was mentioning, where there may be work for food and those kinds of interventions. So for at least in the short to medium term, we don't have the capacity to deal. Yes, yes, yes. It's the Department of Agriculture that for now is focusing on that. On some of the detail, I don't know, Pete, if you want to add something on credit and the recoverability on some of the debtors and the questions that have been answered, but I will give over to the chair and the vice chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister and members. I think the big challenge is in the credit environment. As we've indicated, most of the loans, the old loans, have been coming from the beginning of the 90s, and they've been aged over the period of time and haven't been recovered in that period. Now to go with a dedicated effort to recover those amounts is taking quite an effort. So in most of the cases, those accounts have been provided for, fully provided for. It's almost just a matter of writing it off. But we don't want to just write off. We want to put in an effort and ensure we recover the funds where it's recoverable. In some instances, some of the accounts is elderly people that really just pensioners with relatively small incomes. In those instances, yes, we've got to write it off. There's no way we can recover it. But there's a very professional attitude in recovering the debt. And we've ring-fenced our bad book. We've requested the board to ring-fence a certain portion of the book. That's an old book. And then we attend to only the performing book. And that will give us the opportunity of being more professional in the day-to-day handling of in the real accounts. And just to the honourable member that asked the question, the recoverability of bad debt is now dependent in management's hands. How effective are they going to be able to manage their risk in the future? The disbursement of loans is one thing, but to ensure that you disburse your loan in a proper professional basis, that you can assist the farmer, help him along the line, and not give the money today and wait for when the payment comes due and then you want to recover, that's not going to work. So our approach now is one more professionalism of being an institution where we also look after the people and assisting them in the credit granting process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. With respect to the question on consulting, in respect of structuring of land bank, I would just like to say that really in our quest to execute our mandate and to continue to give the necessary support, financial and otherwise, to the commercial sector, we need to do certain research, as it has been mentioned, and we need to do capacity building and development. So we are saying that this is what the bank will do itself, but to the extent that we can't source, or to the extent that we don't have the expertise to do these respective initiatives, it's only then that perhaps we might utilize the consultants.
So, the question was, where is this budget?
Just to come to assist, honorable member, it is budgeted for under research and development, under training and development too, because essentially, for you to achieve the outcomes of those two line items, you have to use consultants rather. So it is indicated with respect to the resource. Because generally what you'll find that line items are consultants, which should just be a resource. But in this respect, with the line item is much more on the outcome of the resource, but it is still resource driven. So it is under that one.
Thank you, Jeff. I would like to acknowledge the importance of the commercial agricultural sector, specifically in regard to food security, and also the role of Land Bank in playing a financial role in ensuring that food security will remain in this country. But simultaneously with that, I think it's also important that we acknowledge the challenges that the commercial agricultural sector is currently facing. Commodity prices have increased tremendously, but so has the input costs. According to our estimations, input costs are going to be rising, or it's already rising, between 30% and 40%. Now that is going to create a scenario where a lot more funds will be required to fund production. So that's one of the challenges that the Rand Bank has to be able to deal with. And that is also where our scenario in terms of the growth in the loan book comes from. Acting CEO has done a good job in answering many of the things. There's a couple of issues that I would just also like to highlight. One of the things is the whole issue around the one municipality, one product scenario. One of the reasons why we struggle in South Africa to compete is because we're trying to do everything everywhere. And we don't really focus, and we don't really create the economics of scale that are necessary to be able to compete. Now, we can do this through value adding. And the idea would be to go to those areas where you have a comparative advantage in a particular product and to see what kind of value adding can be conducted in that particular area and how the land bank can assist in that. To also support the programs of the Department of Agriculture. Then, turning to development agriculture and the challenges that is faced by development agriculture, I think it's important to notice that access to finance is not the only issue. Access to markets, access to extension, access to advice, inputs, etc., etc., are also very necessary ingredients. So you need a total package in order to be able to succeed. Now, we as a bank won't be able to do this alone. We need to go with the Department of Land Affairs and the Department of Agriculture in actually creating a successful program. And we're actually busy doing that. We're in negotiations, and we are setting up a program to do exactly that. I agree with the statement that the land bank needs massive injection to finance development. We won't be able to do it in any other different way. We also need the track record and the capacity and the know-how in terms of how to do that. And we are now on a path of actually getting there. I think that answers the outstanding matters.
Chairperson, thank you for your submission, and I believe that you're vulnerably and helpful giving minus to that issues. I don't know if there's any other issue that you need to talk to again. Okay, Minister.
I know Honorable Deeper has left, but he raised the question of the value of land and title deeds, especially in the rural areas. I just want to say that it's not the mandate of the land bank. The Department of Land Affairs is dealing with that, and I'm sure they will be able to give a fuller answer on what they are doing in that area. I just also want to expand on the one village, one product, one municipality. It's a program that we have learned from Japan, where they have started a program called One Village, One Product, One Village, which is focusing all your resources in a particular village, taking advantage of the natural resources or the competitive advantage in a particular product. Say if this is a maize area, or it's a wine area, or it's a livestock, a cattle producing area, how do we assist all the farmers? How do we ensure they have the necessary resources? How do we ensure they have the necessary extension service? Because if the farmers are in one area, it's easy for the extension officer to work with them, mobilize them for the harvesting season, for the plowing season, mobilize markets for them when their harvests are ready, also look at the possibility of value addition, the kind of resources they would need for that specific product. So we thought that in South Africa, perhaps we cannot just minimize it to a village. Perhaps we can look at a municipality, work with a municipality, and see, for instance, if it's a cattle breeding area, how do we maximize production, but not just at the level of production and end there, move on down the value chain, ensure that they get the best out of their products. And last month I was in Japan, I met the organization that is spearheading this program, and they've agreed to come to South Africa to come and train us and also assist with funding in that regard. And it's a program that we have agreed with the presidency that it would assist us in increasing production, especially in those areas where we have still have huge tracts of land that are lying fallow. I just thought that should expand. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. thank you very much to Land Bank. Perhaps as we part ways, we have got to emphasize the fact that we are going to judge you on the basis of your ability to respond to the mandate given to you by the law that establishes you. And these members of the committee and this committee are your partners in terms of assisting you to live up to that particular mandate. And I think we are always a phone call away. And I'm sure we'll be interested to see even the final product in terms of the turnaround strategy. And I'm sure you have been able to pick up some of the input that and contributions that members are making. But secondly, that even from the point of view of the funding model and so on, and the need for capitalization of the bank, I think it's a matter that the committee will have to make follow-ups on, particularly in the context of the budget vote debate. So, I'm emphasizing that point because we tend to see the public services that you know, you appoint a person for 3-4 years, and when we ask him, what did you achieve? He'll give you clear statistics about the number of people that he has fired. and if you are asked how many subsidized farmers have you assisted, you scratch your head. So I'm saying, while that is important, we are going to evaluate you on the basis of the mandate that establishes you. But otherwise, congratulations on your appointment and good luck. I was saying to the chairperson after he was appointed that it only had to get worse to be better. And somebody had to fix it. And for all your sins, it has got to be yourself. So, as I was saying, there's goodwill from the committee to support you, given the challenges that you face. Stabilize the bank, create confidence that you're on top of the situation. The bank is in safe hands. Lunch is in Mark's building. You are all invited for lunch. We're not bad hosts today. and I'm sure in how we received you here, the conversation we had, shows that you are a very good host. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll see you on the 21st of May. Thank you.